There's not a problem that we can't mix on Punk News Podcast 595, because we're, I messed it up, we're 596.
That was amazing.
I'm just gonna let this ride. Right now, listener, as you hear this, there's an instrumental track playing for last night, the DJ Saved My Life, and tonight is the DJ episode, so I'm gonna do it again and just keep letting the music spin. Is that a problem that we can't fix? Because the podcast is in the mix. It's episode 596, and we're in real quick. And if there's a problem in your brain, let those problems go down the drain.
Oh, so good.
Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life, yeah. 'Cause I was sitting there bored to death, and in just one breath he said, you gotta get up, you gotta get off, you gotta get down, girl. You know you drive me crazy, baby. You've got me turning to another man. Called you on the phone, no one's home. Baby, why leave me all alone? And if it wasn't for the music, I don't know what I'd do. Yeah. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life with a song.
And we're back, and I failed horribly at rapping, and that wasn't the podcast number 596, as I always do.
Oh, it's so good. It's hard to not rhyme the way you just did. To be like 595, actually. I'm going to say the number that does not rhyme with the thing I just said.
595, then I'm feeling fine. Yeah. Although I would rather be a terrible rapper than a mediocre rapper, frankly. You know what I mean? Like you don't want to be the white rapper that's acceptable. You know, that's a bad spot to be in, you know?
I think, like, no matter what kind of rapper you are, as long as you have some self-awareness and know, like, the level of rapper you are, then you're good. It's when people, like, aren't aware of the level that they're at, that's when it gets real cringy.
Very true. And speaking of being aware of the level that you're at, Hallie Bullitt, this week, I'm Features Editor John Tilly, and I'm here with Hallie Bullitt. It's a John and Hallie episode, and the reason is because everyone hates us. We've alienated all the other hosts, Sam and Am. They hate our guts. They're like, you guys are just too good at the podcast. So we quit. We hate you. And that's what's going on. So Am and Sam are – no, I'm kidding. They got lives to live. Hallie and I have been in the grave. You know, we got nothing to do. So at any rate. No,
it's true. My kid's in bed. My husband's at a show. I got nothing. I'm so happy to have you to talk to you tonight. This is awesome. This is. I really, truly don't have anything else going on tonight. So this is great.
Well, Hallie, I am always happy to talk to you. And earlier today, we were talking about the excellence of David Bowie. But I don't want to go off on too many. I always go off on so many tangents because I have so many thoughts swimming through my head. So we will. And a key to good broadcasting is having a concise point and staying on target, which we don't do at the Punk News Podcast at all. Because I'll start talking about something and say, oh, I want to footnote this and footnote that and footnote this. And before you know it, we spent 45 minutes talking about an obscure B-side from the Clash Regional Combat Rock that no one even cares about, Hallie Bullitt. No one cares.
I don't know. That's punk, though. I don't think you can just say, like, oh, for it to be good, it has to be streamlined. I mean, there's plenty of podcasters that I listen to that, like, sometimes the tangents are where the good stuff is, you know?
True. Very, very true. So anyways, tonight, since just Hallie and me, I wanted to do a special episode before 600, which is coming on down the pike. And so we're going to do a DJ episode, and we're just going to spin some new and newish tracks. Hallie, most of your tracks are new, right?
Yeah, because, you know, we kind of switched the format of the podcast, which was actually kind of like, I think, might have been my suggestion, because I felt like it would be helpful to play the songs that we talk about. Like, we used to talk about songs and then we'd play other songs that were of our choosing. And I really do think it's nice to play the stuff that we talk about just so that people have, you know, if they haven't heard what we're talking about yet, it's nice to just have some context to be like, oh, right. Okay. That. But occasionally, you know, I'm just excited about the stuff that I'm currently listening to. And so I miss the opportunity to just be like, oh, like, let me share this with listeners and, you know, with you and Em and whoever, you know. So I thought it was nice. It seemed like it was, just you and me. Other people had their lives going on and a slower news week. And so it felt like we could take a second to just play some of the shit that we're excited about. Now, most of my stuff is released this year. What about you? What are you spinning?
Yeah. My stuff is mostly brand new. I think it's all this year. I actually, Hallie and I are each going to play about 6 tracks each. I got about 10 on my sheet here, so I'm going to pick them as we go along, as the mood feels right. And along those lines is, 2 nights ago, Hallie Blinn, I DJed live for the first time ever. I've DJed on the radio to promote some previous punk new shows, but I DJed at a live event for the first time ever 2 nights ago.
You said you were going to do that. How'd it go?
It went very well. Down at Wilmington Brew Works on the 4th Tuesday of every month, they have a mini record convention or a record pop-up swap, whatever. That's run by Chris, who was on one of the older Punk News podcast episodes where I talked to him about collecting records and that kind of stuff. And so he said, well, why don't you come play some records? And so I said, yeah, that'd be totally cool. I've never DJed before ever. And so I go on down, and what's cool is he's got a pretty cool deck, but it's a strictly analog deck. 2 turntables, a mixer, no laptop, which I thought was pretty cool, frankly. Mm-hmm. And so most of the guys that DJ there play like obscure soul or even like obscure jazz. And not like the crowd is mostly a middle-aged dude crowd, but not totally. And so. When they're playing music, the music's kind of in the background and maybe somebody will be grooving to it, but it doesn't really like rock the house, if you will. But rocking the house it's usually the best goal, but for a DJ, sometimes sort of background music is a DJ's goal as well, you know. But I came to rock the house. And so I had a strategy in my brain. Like, oh, I wanted to open with World Inferno's Tattoos Fade as a tribute to Jack Terrycloth. And then I was going to hit him with like 3 like pretty high energy burners and then, you know, shoot in a, I guess kind of more pop punk stuff. Poppy punk stuff, and then kind of segue into radio. And Hallie, as soon as I got behind the deck, I'm like, not gonna work. And so sadly, I did not want to bum out the crowd. And I knew like Tattoos Fade by World Inferno, it's almost 6 minutes long. It's got a weird opening, and I could just tell the crowd it was gonna bum out the crowd. So I said, I'm just doing strictly hits, baby. Like, I realize that's the easy route, and I realize that like if you go to like a underground dance club, if you play like New Order, you'll get like booed off the stage because no one wants to hear that song yet. But yeah, I was not at the underground dance club. I was at the Wilmington Brew Works pop-up shop. So I'm like, strictly the hits.
Yeah.
I opened with Ramones Rock and Roll High School. Then I played Train in Vain. Then I played like Dancing with Myself. I played Rock the Casbah.
Really did the hits. That's great. Did people love it?
I played Blondie. People were loving it. Then I segued into some reggae. Not super obscure reggae, but not like Bob Marley. I played Clint Eastwood and Clint Eastwood and General Saint. I played Pass the Dutchie by Musical Youth or Pass the Pass the Dutchie by Musical Youth. I played Cool Runnings by Bunny Wailer, that kind of stuff. I played Walking the Jewelry Store by Yellow Man. A Reggae Party Next Door by Black Uhuru, and it was cool to play my 12-inch singles on a big sound system, which I'd never done before. And especially with the reggae 12-inch singles, like I could not believe how they are made for big sound systems. I guess I never really thought about it. Like the bass just kicks out of those reggae 12-inch singles. And like, it's like a totally different sound. And the crowd was pretty, I mean, the crowd wasn't like dancing because it was like, you know, 45-year-old dudes there buying records, you know, but people were like grooving. And what was cool, people kept coming up to me and talking to me, which was cool. But you know how like DJs are like, you know, don't talk to the DJ, you know. I actually sort of understood that because, like, punk songs, like, I played, like, Dark Thoughts, which is, like, a minute-long song. I played a Circle Jerk song, which is, like, a minute-long song. And so I'm trying to switch the records over. People go, yeah. Oh, well, you know, like, I'm like, yeah. And it is a little bit more, There is a little bit more, like, it looks easy when people are up there, and now it's not that hard, but, like, you really do have to focus and make sure you got the right channel on, the needle's in the right spot, it's queued up. There is a certain technical precision required to do it, and people are talking, and you're trying to be polite, but you're, like, you're trying to get everything ready, you know?
No, if you're playing 1 minute songs, you're like, man, I don't have time for chit-chat.
I know.
You're like, I gotta get to it.
And so it was a lot of fun. And I don't want to overstate the skill of DJing, because I do feel that DJs are like, I'm a, not so much now, but more like 10 or 15 years ago, DJs would be like, I'm a DJ. You know, like, it's an art. Well, I don't know if it's an art, but you do have to read the crowd and kind of pull out the jams and have the jams that get the crowd moving along and bopping. And so, that's a lot of fun, actually. I guess it's a bummer if you can't get the crowd over, but once you get the crowd over and you can keep them grooving, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of fun doing it. One thing, though, is I am concerned about damaging the records, and I got to look into that, because when you cue up a record, basically you put the needle on the record and you play it in your headphones, not on the speaker, to where the song just starts. And then after that, you turn the record player off or the turntable off, and then you wind the record back manually. And I'm thinking it's got to damage the records, but maybe it doesn't. I got to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, you were, like, worried about bringing your records, you were worried about damaging your records, you were worried about your records getting scratched, like, did everything work out okay?
Well, it did, but I hope I wasn't damaging them subtly. Like, maybe if you keep using them, you know, so I gotta figure that out, or I'll just bring, like, cheap records. But anyway, it was a lot of fun, it looks like DJ Johnny G will return again, and he's returning right now. One other thing, Ali, give me your opinion here. This Saturday is the Froggy Prom. The band Froggy, one of Philadelphia's best new bands, are throwing a prom, and they are high school students that are now graduating high school. And I was thinking of going, but I'm like, that might be, like, really creepy. And so I emailed them, and they're like, no, you should come. I'm like, I still think it might be creepy. Hallie, would it be creepy if I went to the Froggy Prom? If I knew who else was going to be there, I'd have a more informed opinion. You know, if it's all 18-year-olds, I don't want to go. You know, but if it's a mix, then I'll go. You know, I mean, they're throwing, like, a really cool, interesting event. But I think I might have to sit that one out. I think that might be. I mean, I want to go, like, just to see the event. But
I don't know if I missed it. But what is it? It's just a prom themed show. What does it have to do with the prom? Sorry.
They're doing a prom themed show with some wacky things during the show. And you know, I love wacky things during the show, you know. And I feel like Froggy is really on a meteoric rise. I hope it's not too much too soon, because that can hurt a band, you know. But there's some really cool things. I mean, they're going to be in the new Clerks 3 movie, which is pretty cool, you know.
Oh, that's great. That's so awesome.
And so I kind of want to ride the wave. But I don't want to be creepy and, you know, be there too much, you know?
No, if it's just a show that they decided to give a prom theme.
Yeah.
Then you should go. Just go.
I might. We'll see. Anyways, Hallie Butch, should we kick off the DJ session, or what should we do?
Yeah, let's do it.
So what we're going to do is Hallie's going to play two songs, and I'm going to play two songs, and then we're going to flip-flop, and I'm going to play two songs, and Hallie's going to play two songs. But back-to-back-to-back-to-back. So, Hallie, what are going to be the first two songs you're going to play, and then I'll play the two songs I'm going to play?
Okay, so I'm going to play I was, like, talking about this the other day, so now I'm going to play it, finally. So this is this band, Art Sick. They're from the West Coast. I think they're from Oakland. And it's, the main songwriter is this woman, Christina Riley. I guess she had another band that broke up and was kind of bummed out, and then was able to connect with, the members of this band and start Art Sick. I think maybe like 4 years ago. I hadn't heard of them until this new record came out. I'm just loving it. It's on out on Slumberland Records. The album is called Fingers Crossed. And I just think this reminds me, I said on the last episode, it reminds me a lot of the old K Records stuff that I used to like, just really, really, like pop punk, kind of indie pop kind of vibes. I love her vocals. They're really, really simple, really straightforward, like no frills. She's just singing, you know, just like it's sweet. You'll hear. So yeah, I'm going to play Art Sick doing, the song Restless, which was the single off of that album, which just came out, this January. And then, I don't know, I got some other good stuff here. Oh, you know, I'm always talking about, I love Specialist Subject Records. They almost never put out any thing that I don't like. And I think maybe about 6-7 months ago, I played a band called Cosmet that's on that label. And I just have continued to like this band and continued to like this album. So yeah, they have a tape out called It's Cosmet. It's almost sold out. They only pressed like 50 copies or something, but it's almost, I might need to log on to Bandcamp tonight and grab one of those. But yeah, so this is Cosmet from Bristol, UK, doing Cost of Breathing.
And then after that, I'm going to play, let's see. Oh, so anyway, Suck is this band from Germany. I've talked about them a lot. They've put out one EP and a single and a split EP. And they play like kind of first wave punk with some synths. And they put out a single a little while ago called Heaven and Hell, or Heaven Hell. And it was almost like a heavy metal track. And they've got a new album coming out that they just announced. Their new album has been in the works a long time. For almost maybe 2 years, people have been talking about the new album. They've got a new album coming out finally via La Puchette Surprise. And the first single is this track called Gravedigger, which is real cool. It does have kind of a metal vibe to it. I dig this track, but I do hope that Suck keeps the punk vibe as well. And so we're going to play Gravedigger, which is one of the first track from the new single. And then after that, I'm going to play, let's do Quam. Quam is, of course, a band from New York. They played a couple of punk news shows. They're absolutely fantastic. They are kind of what I say modern new wave. They just had a new single out. This single is called IDC, and it's got a B-side too. It's a 7-inch single. The thing with Quam is they said, well, our new stuff is going to be more mature, and I hope it's not too more mature, because what I like about Quam is they are kind of funny and weird and unexpected, and so I hope that they have, you know, the serious angle is cool, but I hope they keep the weird whimsy in the stuff too. And I don't know if they're working on a second LP or not, but this is from the new single, and this is IDC.
Myself.
we're back. Halle Bullet, how do you think, first of all, in the age of COVID, how do you think music was in the age of COVID? Better than usual, normal, or more boring than usual?
You know, I have to say, I just found so much good music during the pandemic, like so much good music. So, I don't know. I would say just as good as ever. I really think it's been as good as ever. I don't know if I mean I think there's normally a lot of great music out, so I wouldn't necessarily say better than normal, but definitely not worse. I just like it's so much good new music is definitely part of what got me through the whole stupid ordeal and still does. Although, you know, now that I got COVID, I'm in my grace period, so I'm like fucking I don't know. I'm going to the movies on Saturday. I might just like eat somebody else's popcorn off the ground. Nobody can fucking give me COVID right now. It feels fucking great, man. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? I think music's been just as good as ever.
What movie are you going to see?
Oh, I'm going to go see that Everything Everywhere at All at Once. Am I getting that title right?
Yeah, Everything Everywhere All at Once. I have never heard of this movie. Well, let's see. What's it? When an interdimensional rupture. Ooh, I like this already. When an interdimensional rupture unravels reality, an unlikely hero must travel her newfound powers to fight bizarre and bewildering dangers from the multiverse. Is this like a sci-fi movie?
No. It's like a weird indie movie that, I'll just say, I don't really know because I haven't seen it yet, but I saw the trailer, and the trailer, it has a lot of the same vibes, John, of that movie that we just talked about. What was that? The one with the
Charge of Boggy by Bruce Riley.
Yes. It has like those kind of vibes, but it's about this woman and interdimensional travel, and so it just seems really quirky and cool. And when I saw the trailer a few months ago, I was like, oh my god, I need to see that like the day it comes out. And now I'm seeing it many days after it's come out because I've been busy and sick with COVID, but I'm finally getting to the theater to see it, so I'm super excited.
Randy Newman's in the film.
That's funny.
So I thought COVID music was pretty good, at least as good as average. But the question is, what do you think of music now? Now that, you know, bands are touring again, do you think I guess the bigger question is, does good music come in waves, or is there always good music and the waves thing is just kind of a false belief?
Let me think about that. I mean, I think good music can come in waves, but I don't think there's ever like just like a really dead period. If you think there's like a dead period and nothing good is coming out, you're like not.
That means you're dead.
No. Just you need to look a little deeper. You need to like, you need to like dig a little deeper. Cause I think there's all, I really, you know, I mean, we have an entire, thanks to the internet, we have the access to an entire globe's worth of music. So somebody out there is doing something awesome. If you're not finding it or hearing it, that's a different story. But I do think there's just especially like just talking about waves, I just think there's an especially exciting wave like this year in this moment, because I do think some bands were sitting on releases before they a lot of bands weren't putting out full lengths while they were waiting for COVID to subside so that they could go out on tour again. So I do think there's some material that people have been sitting on that now is really starting to come out at like a rapid pace. So I think we're definitely in a good wave. I think.
I'll tell you how it's affected me in that before COVID, there was a club and there is a club in Philadelphia called Cousin Danny's, which was kind of the maximum roll style punk venue. And they would bring in kind of all the hot, you know, underground, like harder punk or weirder punk bands. Not so much the beard punk bands, but the more, I guess, New York style punk bands, you know, bands like Dollhouse or Hank Wood and the Hammerheads or Positronics or all these kind of harder or weirder bands. And a lot of the bands were just okay. Some of them were absolutely amazing. I would probably go to Cousin Danny's about once a week or at least twice a month. And so, you know, I was, and sometimes more. And also sometimes like the legendary bands would come by, like the Lude played there. One of the greatest I ever saw, Rubella Ballet, played there, which was so much, like I thought it was going to be cool. It was amazing. And actually, it is, this has happened numerous times. And it kind of is all about expectations. I've probably gone to 10 shows in my life, maybe more. You're like, hey, I'm just going to see, like, the first time I saw Nick Turner of Hawkwind, I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to go see the old guy from Hawkwind. It'll be fine. And I've literally seen the guy from Hawkwind. And I go, and it's like the craziest show I've ever seen. I'm like, oh my God, this is like amazing. So anyways, that's happened at Cousin Danny's. And then COVID hit and Cousin Danny's essentially shut down. And then after COVID, I don't want to say ended, but the world sort of opened back up. The shows that were mostly at Cousin Danny's were rebooked at a place called Photo Club. The problem for me is Cousin Danny's is like 30 minutes from my house and it's got easy parking. Photo Club, which is on the exact opposite side of Philadelphia, about an hour 10 from my house. And parking not so great there. And so I don't get out to nearly as many of those kinds of shows as I used to. And so I've really fallen off on the scene, like, what are people getting hip to? What are people checking out? And what's the new wave? You know, and as a punk news reporter, even though I do a lot of news of punk news, I still don't see myself as a news guy, but I somehow am. I felt like I was the guy bringing cool new stuff. And now I'm really just not aware of the cool new stuff at all. Now, M. Moore is doing a fantastic job of bringing in the cool new stuff. But the cool new stuff that M. Moore is bringing in is kind of more on the, I don't want to say the indie vibe, but the young person's vibe, where is it punk? Is it alt rock? Is it art rock? Is it pop? Nobody really knows because genres don't exist anymore, which is very cool. Yeah. But I've lost touch of the pulse of what's the cool, you know, super underground. Like, I went and saw, about 3 weeks ago, I saw The Chisel, which everybody loves. And, like, that's a great example of the cool new band. Public Acid was there, and a couple other of those kinds of bands were there. I thought they were fine. But if you ask me, like, what are the cool new maximum rock and roll style weird or hard bands, I really don't know too – I don't know really too much, and I don't know what to do about that, Hallie. But I don't foresee that getting corrected, because I'm not going to go up to Photo. I mean, I like Photo Club, but I'm not going to go up there every week because it's so far. And also, I got other things going on in my life right now. So, am I falling off, Hallie? Am I falling off?
I mean, not in my perception, but I don't. I mean, do you listen to other? Because, like, I'm obviously not, like, getting out a lot and able to, like, seek out new music that way. But I have a bunch of other music podcasts that I listen to. That's how I find most of my good stuff, where I just listen to the radio, you know? I'd say two of the songs, probably, maybe more. No, I think, like, two of the songs I'm going to play tonight that are, like, just stuff I've just been loving are just, like, stuff I heard on the radio. Which is awesome. Like, it's awesome that that's still, like, the thing. You can just turn on the fucking radio and listen to hear cool shit.
What radio? The only thing I hear on the radio is, like, Led Zeppelin and Billy Joel. What radio station are you listening to?
WFMU. I think I just talked about this last episode. I listen to WFMU. It's awesome. I'm sure for people that don't live in New Jersey, I'm sure you can stream it. It's just the best. It's like, I mean, sometimes it's, you know, sometimes they play, like, really, really out there weirdo shit. But, like, you know, you figure out who your DJs are, who your people are. And then it's just like someone serving you up just like one fucking great song after another. The best. It's like what radio is supposed to be, right?
Let's talk about that. We've all gone to the record store and the guy's playing like some far out jazz, like not even music, like boop, boop, brr, brr, or you turn on the radio and it's like, here's 3 hours of noise, you know, like. Like, is anybody listening to that? And does anyone go into the record store and hear the super far, like, Beyond Sun Ra jazz, like the super avant-garde jazz? Is anyone like, oh man, I gotta get this record? Or has anyone ever turned on to, like, the college radio station and the person's playing, like, noise or, like, hyper minimalist, like synth pop? And is anyone like, oh, I've got to get this one note stretched over 7 minutes. I gotta buy this, you know? Is anybody like that, or is it really just pure vanity, that kind of stuff?
Chris and I were just talking about this, because they do really play some really out there stuff on WFMU, and Chris and I were just having a conversation the other day where we're like, do these DJs, like, do they really love this? Or, like, do they just like that it exists? Is it just something that's, like, weird that they just, like, appreciate that it exists? But you know, no, I mean, I think, you know, you have to assume that there are people with wildly different tastes from you, right? It's, like, different strokes for different folks. I think, you know, stuff that just sounds like fucking, you know, two pieces of cellophane being rubbed together to me. To other people, I don't know. It's, but I know exactly what you're saying. I do, as someone that just likes a hook and likes, like, a good beat, you know, it is hard. I do listen to some of that really out there shit sometimes. And I'm like, come on now. Like, do you really like this? Like, you can't possibly really love, like, you can't just, like, put this on and be like, yeah, but it must be the case. Otherwise, why would people spin that stuff, you know?
Honestly, I honestly believe like there's more noise music out there now than ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you go see noise live, it's kind of cool because it's almost like a movie. Like, there's this one noise artist called, oh, I can't remember her name, but she's actually pretty cool. Nan is the famous guy. I'll think of her name later, but she's like really far out. And I saw her open for Spice, which is the ceremony spinoff band. And she had like a video, and she was like wearing this costume, and it was like really, really cool. And I'll think of her name. I actually liked it so much I bought her VHS tape right there. But like, I would argue that of the noise, and I don't mean, you know, that's noise, young man. I mean, literal noise music. Or noise, not even noise music, noise recordings. I would argue that 2% of that actually gets listened to all the way through. I think it's everyone's trying to show off to each other, like, I listen to noise. Now, I like noise for 3 minutes. Like if I'm, like flipping, I've got some noise 7-inches. So I'm playing my 7-inches while I'm folding the laundry or whatever. Like, you know, I'll play the Undertones and the Clash and then, you know, Rolling Stones and then, like, you know, the Earth, Wind, and Fire or whatever. And then I'll put on a noise record just to shock myself. And then I'll, you know, put back on, you know, Buddy Holly or something. But like is anyone listening to like the thousands and thousands of hours of noise out there? I don't think so, Howie. I really don't think so. I think it's just people trying to show off to each other. And I would love to see the numbers of listeners on like college radio DJ noise programs. I think it's probably like 2, literally.
But you're right. No, it may only be 2, but I do think that those people legitimately like that. They're not like, you know, like, I think they do. Like, life's too short to be a DJ spinning music that you don't actually really feel passionate about. Like, I just can't imagine anyone doing that.
I can. There are many, many, many. Anyone who's watched Married at First Sight or Married at First Sight Australia knows that people will devote their entire life to trying to impress other people. And so I would not put that past the DJ. At any rate, I'm going to play a noise recording right now.
Nice.
This is Angel. Well, the band or artist is called Corroded Spiral. Corroded Spiral is Igor of Sepultura. Well, he's not in Sepultura now, but Igor, formerly of Sepultura. A guy called Cardo Pusher, who I don't know who that is, or a gal, I don't know who that is, and Dwayne Howling of Integrity. And I actually really like this. It's not strictly noise. It's noise meets industrial meets synth, and it's just kind of cool music. So this is the first single off their only EP. The EP is called Ancient Nocturnal Summoning, and the track is Ancient Nocturnal Summoning. And I buy all of Dwayne Hellion's noise music, and frankly, I don't like. I'm like, oh, you know, Dwayne Hellion, he's so deep and dark and weird, you know. Let me try to listen to this noise track that's 25 minutes long. And I'm like, I get 3 minutes in, I'm like, oh, what am I doing to myself here? But I really, really like this one a lot, actually. So this is Agent Nocturnal Summoning by Corroded Spiral, which is Dwid and Igor and Cardo Pusher. And then I will play, let's see here. Oh, I know, I'll hit you with something sweeter. This is DFL, of course. DFL is Monty Messick and Crazy Tom, and they are a punk band that spun out of the Beastie Boys in the 90s. They've got a brand new single called Watch Your Step, and this is Watch Your Step by DFL, their first standalone single. Well, actually, I don't know if it's going to be on anything or if it's just a standalone single, but it's their brand new single, and it is very cool, just throwback, hardcore, that is just, it's not groundbreaking, but it's just perfectly done. Hallie Bullet, what do you got for the suckers?
All right. This is maybe the thing I'm, like, the most excited about that I'm going to play. So this is – I don't really know much about this band. I had a little bit of trouble finding out, like, any details about them. But, you know, I love a lot of the stuff that comes out on Let's Pretend Records out of Bloomington. And so I, you know, I got a alert that they had something else out, and goddamn, they just always, sorry, I have such potty mouth on this episode. Sorry.
Damn it.
I don't know. This label just does it for me, man. So this is, you know, this band is called Tetanus. I know that they're from Columbus, Ohio, and I know they've got a new thing out on Let's Pretend Records. The album is called Moving Quickly to Prevent a Hater from Detonating the Vest. I'm sort of torn because there's like two tracks I'm just going to play like the more like the hit, but if you like this at all, listeners, just like check out the rest of this release, because it's got some really cool stuff on it. Some of it's a little weirder, a little more synthy. I think this band sounds to me like kind of Jay Retard, maybe meets like Sonic Avenues or Splitting Hearts, like a Dirt Nappy kind of thing. I like absolutely love what I've heard of this band. So yeah, so I think I'll do the track I'm going to play. Like I said, it's just sort of the first one in the album. It's one of the more just sort of straightforward ones, and it's called Sitting at Home. All right. So Tetanus, Sitting at Home. And then, I shared this with you, John. I don't know. I don't think you went crazy for it, but I think M liked it. This is a band from Nashville called Bully. And they were signed to like Columbia Records or like a subsidiary of Columbia, but then they moved to Sub Pop, and they had an album out in 2020 on Sub Pop called Sugar Egg that was really, really enjoyable. And then I think they probably just got to be, like I said, just sitting on new material because of the pandemic, because they finally put this single out as like a follow-up to that 2020 album. And I just, this is one that I just heard on the radio and just thought was so fucking great. So I'm going to play Bully doing Just for Love.
Jay Reitard. I was a big fan. What was your stance on Jay Retard?
The best. Like, absolutely. Like, so, man, those songs are so catchy. And, like, that's the magic to me of what he did is, like, I don't understand how he could write stuff that is really ultimately so poppy and catchy and still so subversive and weird. Right? Like, he just walked this line of just his voice, the way he would arrange his stuff. Just, it always felt a little bit dangerous, even when he was doing stuff that was really just, really at the heart of it, just pop punk, you know? It's like, it's not easy to make pop punk sound dangerous or, I don't know, he really had just something so special going on. Were you a fan, John?
I actually saw him. No, I saw him once. I could have went and saw him in Santa Cruz, and I didn't.
I never saw him. I'm so jealous.
It might have been his last show ever. I can't quite remember. I think it was or close to it. I saw him. It was him and VOCs, and maybe Effed Up was there, too. I can't remember if that was at the same show or a different show. Actually, I think it was a different show. But he was really great live. The thing about Jay Retard's tracks is they're all, like, on their face, you're absolutely right in that they're so weird and so poppy, but they're so, like, so many, they're so simple. So many of the songs are just one line repeated, but it's, like, so perfect. Like, it was the night of broken glass. It wasn't the first, but it won't be the last. It was the night of broken glass, and I don't want to feel that. You know, like it's just like so like sing-songy and so perfect, but so weird. Mm-hmm. And I love how he gives you some details of the picture, but not all of them, so you don't know really what's going on, and you kind of paint in the rest of the picture yourself. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That being said, in 2022, what do we think of the name Retard? You know what I mean?
Like, I never really knew what that was about, because like Ray, because it's spelled weird.
Well, the Retards.
No, I know, but I just never. Yeah, but I just never knew. I didn't really know what was going on with that name, you know, for the band or him, you know.
Like, even then, the name was kind of iffy, but he kind of got away with it because it spelled it different, you know, R-E-A, you know? I don't think you can get away with that name in 2022, you know?
Probably not, yeah.
And honestly, I really don't like that word, to tell you the truth. Like, I don't really get hung up on that kind of stuff too much. But, I mean, that is just, it's not a nice, you know, to beat up on somebody that really can't fight back, it's not cool, you know what I mean?
It's a wretched word. I remember when, you know, I feel like it wasn't that long ago that word was still thrown around all the time in a way that was like super funny. Yeah. Even the word gay, even being like, oh, that's so gay. Like, I remember, you know, I remember as an adult, you know, saying that or hanging out with people that were saying that. Not proud of it. Glad we've gotten our shit together a little bit more with our language, you know.
the reason I bring that up is you said, oh, I've got a potty mouth. I didn't know you were concerned about that. I mean, I've heard you throw around a curse here or there. I mean, what's your opinion on the well-played? Actually, I'll give my opinion. You can give your opinion. I generally don't like cursing, and I feel that these days, especially in the past 5 years, but even 10 years, like, everyone's cursed. Like, even if you watch a primetime sitcom, they'll say the F word and bleep it out. And I just think that it's such a crutch. It's a crutch that makes the rest of you weaker in that, like, if you rely on that word all the time, that word becomes – the word itself becomes weaker, but you also lose your vocabulary. As I've said before, I used to go out with this English girl who was real cool, and English people's vocabulary is so much better than American vocabulary. And thereby, they can create more complex thoughts quicker. And also, I think – well, I'm not trying to be – I don't say English people are more intellectual than Americans, because Americans can be a lot funnier than English people, but – I feel as though English people are trained to kind of think things through before speaking more, perhaps. And not thinking things through also has its benefits in that it can be more genuine, more punchy, and so forth. But English people definitely seem to me have better vocabularies and better diction, and therefore are able to more to articulate things more deftly, which I'm trying to attempt right now.
I mean, I think it depends what English person you're talking to. It's a big country with a lot of different kinds of people in it.
Most English people I've met are have good vocabularies and have a better or more nimble with the English language than your average American.
I mean, they also curse a lot in England. They curse a lot, as like in my experience.
That's true. That is true. They like the C word in England a lot. They throw that word around all the time. At any rate, so the point being is, though, the occasional well-placed curse word, I think, can be very effective. But I feel people curse too much and rely on said words. What's your perspective? Do you like how much people curse these days?
I curse all the time. I try not to curse as much on the podcast for a couple reasons.
I think
I don't know, you know, I just don't know how the listeners feel about it. If there's a listener out there for whom that is a bummer for them, then cursing isn't that important to me, you know? I know that you don't love it. Although I don't feel like censored by you, but like, and I think you're right. I think it can be a little lazy. Sometimes there's just, you know, better or smarter or more accurate language that you could be using. So, but in my personal life, I curse all the time, like all the time. And I don't really think about it. And my parents always cursed in front of me. And sometimes I would get in trouble because when I was a little kid, I would say curses because I wasn't really taught that they were bad per se. You know, I don't think my parents went out of their way to curse in front of me, but they just, I don't think those words are given, like a lot more power than other words, you know, if that makes sense.
This is only semi-related discussion. Hallie, but there are younger people in your life. When I was in grade school, like if you said the F word or the S word in elementary school, you'd be in deep, deep, deep trouble, right? And I've got some of my cousins, their kids, my cousins just curse around their kids like it's nothing. And I've heard the kids say the F word. Like, you know, if a 4 or 5 or 6 year old said an F word in elementary school now, would they be like deep trouble or would the teacher not care? I'm just curious. Do you know?
Yeah, no, I think they'd get in trouble. I mean, I don't really know. I'd imagine they'd get in big trouble, right? It's still pretty shocking if a kid, you know, like, but imagine how funny it must have been. I mean, I was like a little girl that liked to like do ballet. I had like super, 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 super blonde hair, like white blonde hair and like freckles spread across my face. And I had like a mouth of a sailor, just total mouth of a sailor. It must have been kind of entertaining, I think, for the right audience.
There you have it. Let's see it. Well, Hallie, I mean, we only have 2 songs left each. Do you want to extend it for another set, or do you want to wrap up our set, or do you want to keep rapping? What do you want to do?
No, I think the song, you know, I mean, we're recording this, we're not listening to the songs in real time, so you know, they're going to take up some time. I think we can play our songs, and there's just going to be a lot of music in the episode. I don't want the episode to be like too long, right?
Fair enough. Okay, so Hallie Bullitt, your turn at bat. What are you going to play?
Oh, man, what am I going to play? Wait, hold on. Do I know?
Well, Hallie thinks it through. I'm going to tell the audience about seeing Aim on the Sniffers. I saw Aim on the Sniffers last week, and I've been honest the whole time, people. I love the first album. I liked, but I did not love the second album. Live, they were better than I've seen them once before. I missed their very first Philly show, which was at a record store of like 30 people. I saw the second one, Boot and Saddle, which is 150 people. They were amazing. This was at the Philadelphia's Underground Art, so about 600 people or 800 people, like a lot more people. They were so much more high. I mean, they were super high energy last time, but they were so much more high energy this time. It's cool. It's like you see Amy in the videos and on Saturday Night Live or whatever. She's like doing all the moves and stuff live. She's doing them times two. She's doing like all the crazy moves, which was very cool. The new songs are awesome live. I like the live versions of the new song more than the studio versions. But also what's interesting is of the old song, the earliest songs, they only played one. They did Balaclava Boogie. They did not do I'm a Loser or I'm Not a Loser, which I guess they're trying to, much like the Chats, I think they're trying to separate themselves from the jokey Australian aspect of the early stuff, which got them noticed in the first place, which is probably a smart move. You don't want to be pegged as a novelty band, which is exactly what the Chats are doing as well. So they only did, aside from Balaclava Boogie, they only did stuff from the first and second album and one new song, which I'm going to talk about in a second. But of the songs from the first album, they did something very interesting. Half of those songs were played twice as fast, like super sprint, which was cool. But half the others were played like super slow, almost like slow mosh songs, which I don't think I've ever seen a band – aside from like Joan Jett or Pearl Jam or whatever, like in a stadium, play like their hits slower on purpose, which was it was a really interesting effect and really gave the song some punches. I don't know if they were doing that just to be artistic or if they were trying to get ready for the big stadium. I don't know. Lastly, they played a new song that isn't on the on any records, and it was kind of like Aim on the Sniffers do Blondie, and the second album was kind of post-punky, but this new song was actually kind of a step back in time to kind of the very first wave of punk, where it was almost like a pop song meets punk, a lot like Blondie or The Pretenders, and it was very cool. So I highly recommend seeing them, and I think a second album can be make it or break it for a band, and weirdly to me, the second Amel album, I think, was much better than the first, which really did kind of surprise me. But I think maybe this band might have some real distance ahead of them, which was very cool.
Oh, I would love to see them. I had so many friends at the New York show. I was very mad that I wasn't there. All right. Well, I figured out what I'm going to play. Sorry. I had to scroll down. All right. So did you hear this, John? The Screaming Females did a cover of the Selector song on my radio.
I did, and it's like super. I wanted to buy it, but it's only associated with some comic book, and I don't even know where the comic book is.
Yeah, but I think it's a cool cover. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. It's not that different from the original, but again, like, just her voice is so like interesting and weird that it's like kind of just kind of cool to hear her singing it. And so yeah, I like that. And I read that too, that they were asked to do an 80s cover, something that had to do with a graphic novel or something like that. And they all just sort of like immediately agreed that they wanted to do this Selector song, which is like such a fun and cool song. It's like got all these angular like bits and like, kind of like atonal bits. And then it's got super, super poppy bits. It's just such a cool song. So I really liked hearing Screaming Females do that. So I'm going to play that. And then this little song, this is the one I kind of know the least about. This was like a song I heard the other day and I just thought it was great. And I got to do more homework about this band. But this is the Reminders, doing a song called Carousel, which is off of their album Best of Beach Punk.
And then I'm going to play Broken Pipe. You say, John, who's Broken Pipe? I've never heard of Broken Pipe. Broken Pipe is actually one of the many new and many old spinoffs of the Melvins. It's the Melvins, Buzz Osborne, and Dale Crover, and Dumb Numbers, which is also a band Dale Crover is in. The Dumb Numbers are Adam Harding, Steve Patrick, and Toshi Kasai, and Kevin Routmanis. And they just put out a very cool EP. It's basically the Melvins, but like super distorted and kind of spacier and more experimental than your average Melvins track. And it's just a very cool EP. So I'm going to play Horrible from that. That's out via, I think that's out via, Joyful Noise. And then lastly, I'm going to play, I know Hallie's annoyed with me to keep bringing up this band. I don't mean to keep bringing up this band, but I've been listening to their EP a lot for some reason. I'm going to play Big Bruce Man Holington's Blood,
no,
Guns, and
No, you're
Bronies.
Not.
Yes, I am. I love this last song. It's about, like, bikers that want to get the newest My Little Pony, but there's other bikers at the toy store that also want to get that My Little Pony, and they fist fight to the death over the My Little Pony. And I just think their new album, Three Chords and the Hoof, is just hilarious. Except Hallie, I've got a real problem on my hands. And if I was a more calculating or less honest person, I would kind of just sweep this under the rug and not talk about it. But listen, the Punk News Podcast is all about honesty. I got a problem, Hallie, but my problem is there's a track on the new Big Moose Man Hollington record. Let me pull it up. And I don't want to slander these guys, so I'm gonna email them about this. And the track is called, hold on a second. Here we go. The track is called Thundermane is a Pega Sister. And these guys are so deep into the My Little Pony mythology. Like, I don't even know what they're talking about half the time. I think. There was some evidence to suggest that they might be like incel or trans exclusionary radical feminists or whatever. And so I thought that these guys might be just weird and wacky, but if this is verging on the sinister, I gotta cut it loose. So I gotta find out, Hallie Blue. I gotta find out.
Yeah, you got to do your your investigative journalism.
How do I email grown men that I thought were 14, but turned out they're 40? so in your latest My Little Pony song, what did you mean by this? You know, but I got to do it because if they really are on the tip, then the joke's over. Sadly, you know, like it's supposed to be funny. If it's mean spirited, it's no longer funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely. I mean, again, it sort of feels very outsider art. You know, it just doesn't totally feel like these are people. How do I say this in the right way?
In it for the
something
right
feels off about it.
Well, yeah,
you know,
feels off about
it. It feels really off. So I wouldn't entirely be surprised if it was off in an even like sort of deeper and more worrisome way than has been made clear so far, you know.
Putting that last statement aside, which I agree with you, I would not say just because something is off doesn't mean it's not good. I mean, something is definitely off about Wesley Willis, and I love his songs. I mean, I'm not going to listen to the whole Wesley Willis album, but I'll listen to like three songs and love them, you know. Or even Daniel Johnson. Like, Daniel Johnson was a normal guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm not
saying Big Moose Man Holington has the emotional depth and impact of either Wesley Willis or Daniel Johnson, but it's got the weirdness. And so, but that being said, that last sentence that you said, if there is something unwholesome is wrong with this bit. If there's something truly, truly problematic, then I think I got to find out. You know what I mean? So this might be, I don't know it's the case. So Hallie will be relieved that if there is true problematic stuff here, then it's the last time I'm going to play them on the podcast. But if you hear them again, it means I researched it and it turns out everything was cool.
Everything
I don't
was
know.
Fine.
But also I love it because the song is a Dwarves reference and I love the Dwarves. So this is Big Moose Man Holington doing Blood, Guts, and Ponies. And we'll be back to wrap this up.
of the carousel ever still spinning? Cause I've been sitting here watching the wheels go round, round and round. And do the losers ever start winning? Cause I've been on a dry spell. Yeah, one of those spells. So tell me how you really feel.
Got some ponies. We roll up. again. There's no God, and we're not Margaret!
There's none on me!
Blood got some pony!
There's none on me!
Blood got some ponies! We round the corner, and there's our brony rivals.
We need to clean up in the little girl's toy aisle.
Lock up your doctor, cause there's gonna be a slaughter!
Blood got some pony!
Make sure you bring a mop, cause there's gonna be lots of cloth!
Blood, guts, and ponies! Blood, guts, and ponies!
How do you believe that might be the last time ever that you ever have to hear me talk about Big Moose Man Hollington? How does that feel?
I don't mind talking. Listen, as long as they're decent people, I don't mind talking about it. I guess I'm just always a little like, I just always have some disbelief about it. I'm just always like, oh, we're really talking about this again. Okay. All right. Let's go for it.
Well, actually, not to drag out this episode, but let's briefly just one last topic. Hallie, I hear a lot of music. And I, you know, I go to a fair amount of shows and I don't know what the name is, but like I'll go to a show and everyone's like, yeah, this is the band. It was so great. They're so great. Amel the Sniffers is so great. Like Amel, like blew my mind. Surfboard blew my mind. Great bands. But there's other bands that you'll see on Punk News or Brooklyn Vegan and it's like, oh, I can't wait to see band XYZ. And you go and you're like, they're fine. But I've seen this 100 times before. Why are you all saying this is so great? It's fine. It's not bad, but it's not special. I feel like I have that, and I don't feel jaded because I still love music. Like, you know, sometimes like music journalists or quote journalists will be like, you know, I don't even like music anymore. I love music, you know, I love going to shows. I love checking out records, but a lot of stuff I see is just fine, you know, and it's not special, but everyone is saying it's special. Do you have that struggle, or maybe you don't? Maybe it's me, and maybe my perception is off or different than yours.
I have definitely felt that way through periods of my life, and in those periods, because I'm not a music journalist, I just step back from music for a little bit. You know, I have a million other things that interest me. And a million other things, different kinds of art that I can make, even just as a creator. If I get burnt out on making music, there's other stuff I can create and make. So I think because it's not, neither the making of the music nor the, you know, reporting or writing about music is my sole job or income. It gives me the luxury of sometimes just being like, yeah, you know what? I'm not feeling like a lot of music right now. I'm just going to go fill my life with other things, you know? But I think that's, I like that. It's, you know, especially as someone that makes music, you know, I've taken sometimes up to like 3 years off and then gone back and made a ton of music on the heels of like a 3 year break. So, that's just kind of how it has to work for me. I think there's other people that could never do that. Like they just couldn't give themselves breaks like that, you know?
Fair enough. The reason I know why I brought that up. What I was going to say is, oh, why does everyone say, oh, this band is it just that people are interested in music as much as the art aspect, as the social aspect? Should people just say that it's awesome? Or maybe they even think that it's off, and even though deep down, just be part of the club. Or do they actually all really think it's awesome, and we're just misfits?
I don't know. I just don't buy this thing where like people are just supporting music just because it makes them look cooler. They think they're supposed to. I just think like, I don't know. I think life's too short. I think people listen to the stuff that they're legit like excited about. You know.
I believe that you believe life is too short, but I you and I disagree here, and maybe we'll analyze this issue over the next few months and see if we can come to some sort of conclusion. Because like certain band, like everyone will be like, oh, this band is so great, And then a year later, no one talks about that band at all. They don't play that band at all. If you're out and someone's DJing, you don't hear them playing that band. I feel like it's all hype and people just kind of want to be part of the club. Whereas like Amel, you know, people are going to be playing Amel 5 years from now. You know, people are still playing Effed Up, you know, and that band had a ton of hype, you know. And people are still playing Vivian Girls here and there. Not as much, but, you know, here and there. And so I do feel, and I guess you and I disagree, and it'll be interesting if we can analyze this in the future somehow. I do feel as though people will just say, oh, yeah, like, this is great. Or they even think themselves they think it's great, but deep down they truly don't feel that way just because they want to be part of the club and, I guess, greater part of the collective discussion, if you will.
Yeah, I don't know.
And anyway, the reason I bring all that up is to say that's why I do love Big Moose Man Holington, asterisk that one issue that we talked about, because there's nothing like Big Moose Man Holington. It is so bizarre. And, like, I love that they're grown men that, like they know My Little Ponies better than I know Star Trek The Next Generation or something. You know what I mean? It's like they, you know, it's just so bizarre. And the music is often so bad, but there's so much of it. It's like, I just love the commitment, you know. At any rate, let's let in this discussion on Big Moose Man Holington. Hallie, but what's one last thing we should wrap this up? Maybe upcoming concerts people should check out, or upcoming concerts you're excited about. What should we wrap this up with?
I'm so mad at myself because I had tickets to Turnstile and then I didn't go. It was the night before my husband's birthday. I just felt like maybe I was doing like a crummy thing by going. So I didn't go. So I don't know. I'm feeling sad about shows right now, but, I don't know.
Are we going to see Circle Jerks in, not Atlantic City, Asbury Park?
Yeah, maybe. I still have to find out because that is actually literally my best friend's birthday. So I have to just check in with her and see what her.
Tell you hate her. And then tell you hate her and then make up with her the next day. That way you can go.
If there's anything else I wanted to talk about, I guess, I don't know. I'm still really liking that Clown Sounds release that came out on Recess Records. That's Tom Congelier from Toys That Kill and Underground Railroad to Candyland. If we had done more songs, I would have played something else off that, but I've already played that on the podcast. I don't know. Just like a bunch of, and maybe I will just mention this quickly. Like the Dead Broke Records, did like a co-release with, Rad Girlfriend Records, and they reissued the Soviets original full length EP, which I think was just called Soviets One, right, John? Yes. So I don't know. It's just like, it's really cool to me. I just feel like there's some really cool reissues happening right now. And I was happy to see that Soviets first full length, get reissued because man, that album, I don't know for anyone that wasn't, you know, is like young and wasn't around then, that album really just made waves. People were so excited about that band. And I think it holds up. You know, you talk about things, John, that people get excited about and then a year later, they're not talking about it anymore. I mean, people may not be talking about the Soviets all the time, but if you are in conversation with anyone that liked that LP when it came out, I think they would still be like, oh yeah, that album is still so sick. It's so good to listen to.
Well, let's send them out with a Soviets track. What Soviets track should we play?
Oh, like it's gotta be like, crap.
Blue Stars, Bottoms Up, 9th Street.
Bottoms Up maybe.
Bottoms Up by the Soviets. And we will see you next week. Episode 600. Coming down the line, people. See you next week. So she's the one.